The Jonathan Cruz case was hastily investigated by authorities, but many questions remain. Come behind the curtain with private investigator Sheila Wysocki as she uncovers the truth about what happened to Jonathan. This is Without Warning. Warning: the following episode contains elements that are graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Investigating cases, you want to talk to every person that might have knowledge, especially the people Brenda saw the next day or the day after. Brenda was very busy the next day. We know by her phone that she saw Matthew Kirk, and she contacted Karen Petrie. I already spoke to Matthew, and I went to Sherman High School to talk to Karen Petrie. Chris Hawkins, a private investigator, and I teamed up to work together on this case. Chris and I went to the high school prior to the first class and sat down with Karen. Karen described what Brenda had told her. However, there was hesitation from her. We believe she had more knowledge, which led her to a deposition. The legal definition of a deposition is a formal statement that someone who has promised to tell the truth makes so that the statement can be used in court. Karen was subpoenaed to appear for a deposition to tell the truth and what she knew about the case surrounding Jonathan's death. In this episode, you're going to hear bits and pieces from the deposition. I'm going to take you through the highlights of the deposition for educational purposes. Think about your best friends, what you share with them, how you are with them, a sympathetic ear, a shoulder to cry on, especially with the story of your boyfriend shooting himself while you were there in the bathroom, on the edge of the bed. You were at the footboard in the living room. He was standing. He was laying down. He was in the dark. You saw the gun. You didn't see the gun. All the things that would go along with that story. As a best friend, you would be there for your friend to help her through the trauma. The other voice you will hear in this episode is Tom Shaw. If you have listened to my podcast, you have heard from Tom in the past. He is a Dallas lawyer that I praise for his skill and legal abilities. I work with many attorneys when it comes to victims' families. Tom is one of the best I have ever worked with from his skill, knowledge, legal strategy, and compassion. I could tell you horror stories of the victims' families being taken advantage of in cases, but that's for another show. While listening to Tom, you will see just how perceptive Tom is while questioning Karen. Things to pay attention to: is Karen educated? Is she a wordsmith? Is she defensive? Or does she come to the deposition open and honest, wanting to tell everything she knows because that is the right thing to do? That is the legal thing to do. Statement analysis is a technique that can be used to detect concealing information, missing information, and whether the information the person has provided is true or false.
Please state your name.
My name is Karen Petrie.
Okay, Ms. Petrie, you understand that I represent the Cruz family?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Do you have any college?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I have two bachelor's degrees from the University of North Texas, a master's degree from University of North Texas. I went to an associate's degree from Northlake College, a master's of arts in journalism from CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, and I also did a semester at Brandeis University in Graduate School of Anthropology.
And where do you work?
Sherman High School.
Are you a teacher?
Yes.
Okay, what do you teach?
French.
How did you learn about the existence of this lawsuit?
Brenda told me.
Okay. And when did Brenda tell you?
Probably right after she found out. I don't remember when that was.
Do you talk to Brenda often?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. How often do you talk to her?
It comes and goes. I haven't spoken to her. And she had a baby, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I congratulated her and you know, asked her how she was and stuff. But I haven't spoken to her since, I guess, her baby shower.
When was that?
I'm bad with dates. A month ago, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know if I saw the invitation somewhere, but something like that. She was pretty pregnant then.
Okay. And where were you living in early 2014?
I was living with my parents. I had just moved back from the city, from New York.
And were you in Texas when Jonathan was killed?
Yes, I lived in Texas when he died.
Okay. And did you know Jonathan?
I think I met him once back in the summer between semesters. They weren't dating, though. I think he was at the Kung Fu school with Pam, and Pam introduced me.
Do you know people in your life that have a lot of drama in their lives?
Sure, I'm a teacher.
Okay, so some of your
students. About 110 of them.
Yeah. Would you describe Brenda that way, where she has a lot of drama in her life?
Not more than anybody else.
Okay.
I mean, we all have trauma. It's part of being human.
Is she easily upset?
No.
Does she have a history of volatile relationships?
No.
Do you know who she was dating before Jonathan?
I mean, like, seriously dating or?
Dating.
I mean, we all go on dates. I'm sure she went on dates with somebody when I lived in New York that I didn't know about. I don't know of a relationship that she had before Jonathan, except for, what's his name?
Matthew Kirk?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even remember when that was.
Had you ever met Matthew Kirk?
A couple of times.
Okay. How long have you known Brenda?
I think I was about 20 when I met her.
So about 11 years ago?
Yeah.
How did you meet her?
Kung Fu.
Are you still in Kung Fu?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm still part of the Kung Fu family. I don't practice Kung Fu right now, but I do practice Tai Chi from time to time.
Okay. And when did you stop practicing Kung Fu?
I live in Sherman, so it's impractical to drive down there. And before I lived in Sherman, I lived in New York, so that was impractical. I mean, I still practice from time to time on my own. I just don't go to classes.
When was the last time you regularly attended classes?
Maybe 2014 for a bit. Back to New York and moving to Sherman.
Okay. Give me an adjective that best describes Brenda. A couple of them, then. What first comes to your head?
Funny, late, kind.
Do you consider Brenda one of your best friends?
Mm-hmm.
Your best friend?
I don't have a single best friend, but one of my best friends, yeah.
Okay. Do you know if she thought of you as her best friend? One of her best friends?
One of her best friends, yeah.
Okay. Is she easily upset?
No.
Has she ever talked about slashing her wrists?
No.
Were you aware that she had cut herself?
No.
No.
I mean, like, intentionally?
Yes.
No. Not that I remember. I mean, I think I would remember something like that.
Did you ever talk to her about Jonathan while they were dating?
Of course.
Okay. Tell me what you and she discussed.
I mean, a lot of it just went in one ear out the other because, you know, I mean, I didn't live here and I didn't know Jonathan. And a lot of it was just, you know, she liked him. It seemed pretty serious.
He friended me
on Facebook. I don't know.
Did she tell you that she wanted to move in with him?
She said, I think they had talked about it or something. I don't know the details, but he had moved out or was moved. I don't know. I don't remember the details.
You remember vaguely her discussing the possibility of moving in with him, though?
Yes.
Okay. And did she ever tell you that she was pregnant by him?
By Jonathan?
Yes.
No, she never told me.
Okay. Did she ever tell you that her parents kicked her out of the house because of her relationship with Jonathan?
No.
Was she close to her parents?
Yeah, I guess.
Had you ever met her parents?
No.
Do you think it's odd that she's your best friend and you've never met her parents?
I've honestly never met the parents of most of my friends, so it's not out of the ordinary.
Okay.
She had invited me to her house before, but I wasn't able to go, so it's not like the opportunity wasn't there.
Okay. So she lived at home with her parents?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you know where that was?
Grand Prairie.
And was it her mom or her dad that she lived with?
Her mom lived there. I think her dad lived there. I think he was gone for a while at some point. Like, I don't know.
That he had separated from the mother?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. I mean, she never really talked a whole lot about her dad, so I don't talk about mine either. And he lives with my mom, so.
Okay.
I'm going to pause for a moment for a commercial break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Let's get back to Jonathan. You said you thought you'd met him.
Yeah.
And had you seen him more than once?
I don't think so.
Okay. What were your impressions of?
He was tall. Like, that's it.
Okay.
I mean, it was very
friendly?
Brief. He said hi when his mom prompted him to introduce him to me, so.
Was this at Kung Fu?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he shy?
I can't say either way. I don't feel like I was around him enough to know.
Okay. And how many times were you in class with Jonathan in Kung Fu?
The only time I ever remember even seeing Jonathan was once. If he was there another time, it's gone from my memory.
Were you able to form an opinion of him based upon what you saw at Kung Fu?
No.
Okay. And you didn't see him outside of Kung Fu, did you?
No.
But you talked to Brenda about him?
Well, she talked to me about him, yeah.
And did she talk to you about any of Jonathan's other girlfriends?
She said that there was, I think, a girl she had asked him to not be alone with. And that was kind of bothering her that he was dating her, but still going out alone with this other girl or something. And I think they argued about it. But.
Okay.
That's all I remember.
That's all you remember?
Yeah.
Okay. When did she tell you about that?
Let's see. I think I saw her once in the fall of 2013. We went to dinner. So she may have told me then, or she may have texted me about it. I don't remember.
Do you know when Jonathan died?
Well, was it February 2nd?
Yes.
That's what it said on my papers, so.
What year, do you know?
That Jonathan died?
Yes.
It's been 2 years.
How did you learn about Jonathan's death?
Brenda's sister sent me a message asking for Cipher Henry's phone number.
When was that?
I guess a day or the next day.
Did you give her Henry's number?
Yeah.
You had Henry's number?
Mm-hmm.
What happened next in connection with your knowledge of Jonathan's death?
Well, I asked Isela if everything was okay. And she said Brenda's boyfriend, I don't remember how she phrased it, but that he had shot himself or been shot or something of that nature.
Okay. And when after that did you first speak to Brenda?
I went over there that day.
Went over where?
To Brenda's house.
And she was living with her parents?
Yes.
Okay, so did you see Brenda?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She said yes. And did you ask her what happened?
Yes.
Okay, and what did she tell you?
I only have bits and pieces because she was speaking very quietly and she was kind of in shock. And occasionally she lapsed into Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. But they were, I think, at his apartment. They had been arguing, and she had, I think, she went over there to take him something, or I don't know, and they argued again. But then they talked, and they made up, and they went to bed. So they went to bed, they were in bed, somebody woke up again, and then he had a gun, and I don't remember where the gun came from, I don't know if she told me, but he had a gun, and he told her something about, cover your ears, I love you, cover your ears, and I don't know, then there was a shot.
And what, please?
Then there was a shot.
Okay, where was Brenda when the shot occurred?
In the room with him.
Where? Did she say?
I don't remember.
Okay. And do you know what, did she say what caused him to take the gun out?
Not specifically, just...
Tell me generally.
They had been arguing.
I thought they'd made up.
They had been arguing. They made up. And then they started arguing again. And he was, I don't know, trying to prove to her how much he loved her or something.
And what were they arguing about?
I don't remember if she told me.
She didn't ask?
I mean, my friend was in shock and having the worst day of her life. I didn't press her for details.
Okay, but later you did, right?
I think, but I mean, I don't remember what she told me well enough to say that I remember what she told me.
Okay, give me what you remember.
Well, I mean, I assumed that they were fighting about the girl, but I don't know if she told me that they were fighting or the girl, or that's just an assumption that I made based on what she told me earlier.
You didn't want to know why her boyfriend would kill himself over fighting over another girl? Did that enter your mind? Why he would kill himself after arguing about some other girl?
Honestly, I didn't think he killed himself on purpose. I think he, maybe the, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there.
I'm interested in what you discussed with Brenda, though. Did you ask her why on earth he would kill himself in that situation?
I didn't ask her that in those words, no.
What did you ask her?
I don't remember specifically what I asked her.
Tell me generally.
Generally, what I asked her?
Yes.
I don't know how to answer that.
Do you recognize the lady there at the end of the table?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a yes?
Yes.
Yes. Who is she?
I don't know her name, but she came to school and asked me questions. She didn't tell me where she was from, but she has a weird last name. I remember that part.
Does Sheila sound familiar?
Sheila, yes. Another one was Chris, right?
Yeah. Okay. And did you tell Sheila, did you have a better recollection of what was discussed with Brenda when you spoke with Sheila?
Well, I wasn't under oath when I was speaking to her.
So you were
and
lying
so
to
I
her?
Was, no. I was telling her things that I assumed or that I thought I knew, but I don't feel comfortable saying. I asked Brenda specifically why her boyfriend would kill himself over an argument over another girl, because I never actually asked her that.
Okay. And did you tell Sheila during that meeting that it was actually over Jonathan being alone with a girl named Emily that same day?
Oh, that, yeah. That sounds, I guess it was that same day.
Okay.
I don't remember when. I think it was over Emily,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I never knew the girl's name. I saw or heard the name Emily. Where did I even hear the name? Oh, and Brenda showed me her lawsuit, and she wanted to know what she was supposed to do. So I think that's where I found out the name Emily.
And did you read the lawsuit?
Just the part of it, like the front of it. And I told her she needed to get a lawyer.
This week's My Favorite Thing is a true crime podcast called Criminology. Check it out.
Hey, all you true crime fans. This is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morphin.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons.
We dive into a variety of cases in both the U.S. and abroad.
Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of, like the Pocatello babysitter murders or the canal murders.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime, like the Tylenol murders and the Lindbergh kidnapping. We also dive into cases that are currently breaking thanks to DNA and forensic genealogy.
Sometimes you'll hear from people connected to the cases, like the interview we did with the brother-in-law of the Golden State Killer, Joseph DeAngelo.
There are close to 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now, including full seasons covering the Zodiac Killer, the Golden State Killer, and Ted Bundy. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Have you ever known Brenda to act possessive or jealous?
No.
Did you think that she was acting possessive or jealous when she was concerned about Jonathan and this other girl?
No.
You didn't?
No, I mean, I didn't know Jonathan, so I didn't know his side of it. I didn't know what kind of person he was. I mean, if she was upset that he was spending time with another girl, then that's kind of the definition of jealousy. But, I mean, I didn't know anything.
Isn't it true that Brenda told you that she and Jonathan were fighting about Jonathan being alone earlier in the day with Emily?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. And who have you discussed this deposition with?
I asked a couple of my lawyer friends.
I thought you said you didn't know any lawyers in Texas.
I don't in Texas.
Okay.
But I do in New York.
Okay, and what did they say?
I asked them, you know, what am I supposed to do with this subpoena? How do I get this information? One of them is a law professor, and she told me she didn't really know without seeing the subpoena. The other one said he wasn't sure. Perhaps I should contact Brenda's lawyer and ask her.
Not me.
No.
Okay. So reason why you didn't want to contact me and ask me?
Well, I mean, it's a civil suit, so I don't really understand law very well, but
you feel more aligned with her side, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So because you feel more aligned to Brenda's side, you wanted to talk to Brenda's lawyer rather than me, true?
Yeah.
Did she ever tell you that Matt gave her an STD?
No.
Did she ever tell you that Jonathan gave her an STD?
No.
Do you know what an STD is?
Yes.
Okay. Did Brenda work?
When?
Anytime you knew her?
Yes.
Okay. Did she work at the time of Jonathan's death?
I don't remember.
What was the last job you knew she had?
She was doing school to become a licensed massage therapist and interning. And then she was teaching. And then between those two, she was working in a school. But she wasn't a teacher, but I don't remember exactly what her title was.
Was she a college graduate?
Yes.
Where did she graduate from?
UTA.
And what was she teaching?
She was teaching Spanish.
Where?
I want to say Duncanville or Grand Prairie, but I don't remember. I think it was middle school.
How old is Brenda Lazaro?
She's younger than me. I ask her this every year. I think she's like 28 or 29, maybe.
Okay.
27.
Did she ever tell you that she had witnessed her uncle being murdered?
Her uncle? No.
Did she ever tell you that she'd witnessed a murder before?
Yes.
What did she tell you about that?
She was in Mexico, and I guess she had befriended a girl that she was a little bit older than her. And she thought she'd kind of dress kind of cool, and you know, she's an older girl that talked to her, so she would see her after school sometimes, or you know, just say hi to her or something. But at some point, I think the girl got picked up in a car and Brenda happened to be with her. And the girl was actually, I think, a prostitute, but not like a willing prostitute. It was probably involved with a cartel or something. And they took her to some building, and I think they like raped her and beat her and then killed her.
And Brenda witnessed this?
Yes.
Did you believe that?
Yes.
How is it that Brenda survived if she witnessed this murder?
They put her in the car and they took the other girl or woman, I don't know how old she was, body, and dumped it somewhere, and one of the guys opened the door and told her to get out and run before he changed his mind. I don't remember how old she was, but she was a child.
When was the last time you had a discussion with Brenda about this lawsuit?
She asked me if I had gotten papers, like probably a month ago. Maybe. She said that her lawyer had said that you wanted me and I think Sifu Henry and somebody else to go for a deposition. And I asked her when and where or, you know, what. And she said, I don't know. I'll find out. So, I mean, I didn't know if that was like at that time, I didn't know what a deposition was. So.
Sure. And did she get back with you as to when the deposition was?
She said something about August 28th. But she said, I think they do like a court order or something. Because, like, I mean, I have no idea who you were or where you were. So.
And did you discuss what questions I might ask you?
No, I haven't spoken to her since I got the papers, except to tell her congratulations.
On the baby?
Yeah.
And before you were served with the subpoena, did you ever discuss with her what you remembered?
I think so.
Tell me about that.
But it's been a while.
That's okay.
Like, I mean, I didn't ask her, like, to repeat what happened. But I said, so you're, like, I think I asked her at one point what kind of gun it was, but I don't remember what she said. That was, a couple of years ago. But I asked her, I don't remember when it was. So you guys had been fighting or something, right? And you'd gone to bed or something? And she said, yeah. And then I said, didn't he ask you, like, to cover your ears or something? And she said, yeah. Like, stuff like that.
Okay, so you were confirming what she told you.
Like, I guess, yeah.
I mean, is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, just from my own knowledge, though.
Okay. And did she tell you where exactly she was when Jonathan shot himself?
I think she was in the room with him. I mean,
standing,
I know she was in the room.
Sitting,
with him.
Laying down. What'd she say?
I think she was sitting.
Where?
On the bed, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she told me that or if I've just made a little movie in my mind and filled in the spaces. So, I mean.
Okay, well, I'd like to know, if I could, mm-hmm. what she told you about that evening.
She said that they had been fighting. Okay. She went to his house to take some stuff.
What stuff?
His stuff, I think. I don't know.
Return it?
I think so.
So she was breaking up with him?
No, but she just had something that was his.
Okay.
That's the impression that I got.
Okay.
Clothes, maybe?
Okay.
And she... They had kind of resolved the issue, and they were talking about getting married in the future, having kids together one day, that kind of thing. And then they went to bed, started fighting again. I think at some point one of them woke up to go to the bathroom or something, and they started arguing again. And then he had a gun, and he said, cover your ears, cover your ears. And then he was dead.
I'm going to pause for a moment for a commercial break.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Do you have a gun yourself?
No.
Okay. And do you have any training with a gun?
I fired a 22 once.
Okay, fair enough. But you were aware she knew her way around guns, true?
I don't know anything about Brenda and guns.
You don't?
No.
She never told you that she'd been trained to use a pistol or a firearm?
No.
Okay. So that's not something you know about?
No.
And your first contact with Brenda after the shooting was when Brenda came over to your place, or you went over to her place?
I went over to her place.
Okay. And how long were you with her then?
Maybe an hour.
And was there anyone else in the room?
No, not in the room.
Okay. So it was just you and her for an hour?
Yeah.
And did you ever consider that she may have shot Jonathan?
It never entered my mind.
Okay. That's because you're her best friend, right?
Well, I mean, that too, but I'm one of her best friends, but she's not outwardly violent. I mean, when she deals with confrontation, she just kind of shuts down and goes inward. She's not good at being aggressive. You know, we've never even argued.
Did she ever tell you about a strained relationship with her mother?
No.
Did she ever tell you about a strained relationship with her father?
I think her relationship with her father was a little bit strained.
How so? Tell me about
that. I mean, at one point, this has been years ago, but I don't think he was living with him at the time. And there was some kind of issue. I don't know what the issue was, but he had left, I think.
Okay. And did she ever tell you how it was her family came here from Mexico when she was there?
No.
When she was younger?
No.
Okay. Do you know of any instances where she threatened to harm someone else?
No.
Are you aware of whether or not Brenda had ever gone to a psychiatrist, psychologist, or counselor?
I think she did go to a counselor.
When did she do that?
Well, I think a couple of people tried to get her to go after Jonathan's death. I don't know if she ever did. And then a few years before, I think she had been for a while.
She'd been seeing a counselor for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
I think part of it was just some of the stuff like happened to her in Mexico. It's a lot to deal with. So just to, you know.
Is that what she told you? That's why she was seeing a counselor?
I think that's what she told me. But, I mean, again, it's been a while, so it might have just been that I assumed, you know.
Fair enough. Did Brenda ever tell you that Jonathan had discussed with Brenda that he was going to end the relationship?
No.
She never told you then?
No.
How long had Jonathan and Brenda been dating when Jonathan was killed?
I don't know. I lived in New York when they started dating. So, I mean, I know that much.
A couple of months?
I guess.
Does that sound right? 2 or 3 months?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's had probably been, I mean, months plural. I think she was dating him around November, maybe. I don't know.
So November, December, January?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know if that's when she started dating him, though.
Have the police ever contacted you concerning Jonathan's death?
No.
Did Brenda tell you that she was interviewed by the Capel police?
She told me she was interviewed by police.
What'd she tell you about that?
They asked her a bunch of questions, and then she told me that they had called her back to ask her more questions. I think that was in, I was about to get on a plane, so that was in the summer of 2014 that they had questioned her again.
Did she tell you why they were questioning her?
I mean, about Jonathan's death. She was in close proximity to him when he died, so it made sense.
So they were questioning her with the possibility that she had killed Jonathan, true?
I guess.
Okay. And that's what Brenda told you, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Did she assure you at that time that she didn't kill Jonathan?
I didn't ask her to assure me. I never thought she did kill Jonathan.
Okay, but she told you that the police were communicating with her because they were concerned she might have killed Jonathan. So that didn't cause you to question whether or not she might have killed Jonathan?
No.
Because you trust Brenda implicitly, correct?
I didn't have any reason not to trust Brenda.
Except for there's a dead person.
Objection.
And there's the police investigating.
Well, I figure if the police had found something implicating Brenda, she would have been arrested.
Thank you.
In every case, there is someone in the community who holds information that may be significant in solving a case. Relationships change over time, and many cold cases are solved when a former witness, friend, or relative is located who is tired of hiding information and shares that information with investigators. If you have any information about this case, please contact our voicemail comment line at 888-599-0008. You can leave an anonymous tip, or you can leave your contact information. We will call you back and speak with you directly. You can also email information to Sheila@SheilaWysocki.com. Without Warning, Executive Director, Executive Producer, and Host Sheila Wysocki. Announcer, Tim Evans.